Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Call This Week. My name is Kurt Mortensen. As we go deep into influence, persuasion, and influence, and we'll take your questions and things that you're running into to help you out towards the end of the call. The goal here, of course, is to spend a few minutes together and talk about influence in general, hopefully give you a tool, something to work on this week as you apply the different aspects of influence and persuasion. Because as you already know, everything you want in life, a lot of that comes on the other side of persuasion and influence. And when you need to influence somebody, it is too late to learn. So we're going to do it ahead of time. Now, one of the questions I keep getting over and over again is, how do you maximize your influence when you don't have any power or you don't have a position, you're not the boss, you have no authority? How can you persuade without authority? When you're going into a situation where maybe they have all the control, they're the boss, you might not have the authority position, can you still influence in that type of situation? So I kind of want to give you a roadmap for you to follow when you're in that type of situation where maybe you're meeting with the president of the bank, or you're meeting with all your bosses, or you're going into a situation where you don't feel like you have a lot of leverage. And when you can, so just kind of a little roadmap that you can follow before you go into any type of persuasive situation, but especially the one where you don't feel like you have a lot of authority. The first thing I want you to do when you go into positions, when you don't have a lot of leverage, you don't have the authority, is you need to think about the pre-assessment, your pre-persuasion checklist. You want to talk about the number one reason people fail in influence or negotiation is they just wing it. They don't think it through. They don't visualize it. They don't role play it. They don't think to themselves, what if they say this? What if they do this? They don't put themselves in their shoes. I mean, the reality is with persuasion and influence and negotiation, you're going to pay the price up front in your preparation, or you're going to pay it on the back end with money that you've lost because you didn't have the right tools, the right information, you didn't do enough research to really understand where they're coming from, why they're there, why they want to be influenced, why they want to negotiate. You really need to have kind of what we call a pre-assessment, to think it through. What if this happens? Why do they want this? Why are they there? What are they going to think? What's going to happen? Very, very important. And that's the step that, well, I don't have time to do that, or I'm just going to go see what happens. That can really hurt you. It's the person that's prepared, that has the information, that has the numbers, that can see both sides of the issue, that's very successful in a situation where they don't have authority or they're not the boss, where they can be very successful and to influence without authority. So once you have that foundation, that you've done the assessment, you've done your research, you've done your homework, then you need to think about your sources of power. Now, power is an interesting thing. People get a little nervous when we talk about power. And I ask people, is power good or bad? I get different answers, and I just say, well, is gravity good or bad? You know, gravity is good if you're walking. It's bad if you're falling from a tree. It's neutral. But what power does in an influence or a negotiation situation is it gives you leverage and it makes people easier to persuade. There are a lot of different forms of power. There's good power, there's bad power. And if you look at a police officer, their gun, their uniform increases their ability to influence and persuade. Look at a lawyer's knowledge. That increases their ability to persuade. So what type of things do you have that give you power? And you do have power in any situation. The first one, it might be knowledge. As you know, knowledge is a form of power. Do you have information that they want or need or desire? That information. That's something to take a look at. What information do you have that gives you power? You might have authority. Sometimes it might be your title. It might be how you're dressed that gives you authority. External characteristics, if they come to your office, the way your office is set up, that can give you power. Now, of course, there's coercive power that people use. I don't recommend it. You need to be aware that people do have coercive power as far as being really bold or waiting until the very last second. Time is a form of power. There are a lot of different negative forms of coercive power. I don't want to talk about those, but they're there. Then you have reward power. What can you reward? What do you have that they want? Now, be very careful. If you give somebody for something, the next time you need to influence them or persuade them, they'll expect it. For example, we'll take a school situation. The children in elementary school aren't reading. Okay, what can we do? Well, if they read X amount of books, they'll get pizza. And so they do. Reading goes up, and they get pizza. But then once you reward somebody for doing something, the next time you want it, you'll have to reward them probably even more. They did another study with college students. They brought them into a room and did a study, and they said, here, go play with these puzzles. And the students loved playing with these puzzles. But they found out once they paid them to play with these puzzles, they wouldn't do it unless they were paid again. So it's a form of power. What do you have that they want? But then there's long-term diminishing returns. Probably the biggest form of power that you have in any type of influence situation is what I call legitimate power. Now, is that your knowledge? Is that their respect for you? Is it your relationship, the friendship, your reputation? That's a big form of power. Been friends for a long time. That's part of that power. So any situation, what type of power do you have? And this power, again, increases your ability to persuade and influence. So you have your pre-assessment. You're thinking through the power that you have. This is before you even try to influence. Then the next one, obviously, is you're going to attempt to influence. This is where it all comes. You're going to influence. You've thought it through. What laws of persuasion you're going to use. And to be adaptable here. Remember the major mistakes with all influences. You tend to persuade others how you like to be persuaded, and you need to adapt to their style, number one. And number two, the moment they sense that you're going to try to influence them to do something, they're going to, even though they need it, want it, like it, and can afford it, they are going to resist you. So your goal, number one, is to persuade them how they want to be persuaded. Number two is help them persuade themselves. That is your goal when you attempt to influence them. Will you get the yes? Will you get the no? Now, here's your moment of truth. If you're tempted to influence them and they say yes, they accept the change and you move on. Now, be very careful. The studies show, and as I interview people, you tend to talk three times too much. In this influence phase, you don't want to vomit the 37 reasons why they should do it. You need to listen and ask more questions. Remember, you want to get them to do what you want them to do and like doing it. Ask questions. Think about, okay, what's in it for them? Why are they going to do that? And they accept the change. Now, that's the easy road to persuasion and change. Now, if they say no, you have to think it through during the presentation and realize that when you get a little opposition, there's probably four reasons. Now, opposition's not necessarily bad. They're thinking it through. What do you need to change? They have questions. And be very careful here. If they have a question or an objection or there's any type of opposition, you be open. Thanks for asking that question. Thank you for bringing that up. Because if you look a little resistant or you don't want to answer it or they feel like you felt it was a dumb question, that closes the door to persuasion. So there's kind of four things here. The first one and the biggest one is you didn't give them a reason to do it. They didn't see why they should. How's it going to help them? Now, the big thing here when you look at reason, where people tend to blow it, is if they've called you or if they've requested more information or they want to meet with you, they already have a reason, and your job as a persuader is to find that reason. Now, if you've approached them, if you called the meeting, if you called them, then you need to create a reason. So there is no reason for them to do it. They didn't buy into it. They didn't care. Why waste our time? There was no reason. That's the first one. That's the biggest one. You need to create a compelling reason why they should do it, the old what's in it for them. The second one might be maybe they didn't have the ability. It sounded good, but maybe they didn't have the physical ability. For most people, they didn't have the time, or they didn't have the money, or they didn't have the man or woman power to pull it off. There was no way to do it. It sounded great. There was a great reason, but it was just too much work. We can't pull it off. Come back in 6 months. They didn't have the ability to do that. The third one is connectivity. One of the 12 laws of persuasion, as you know, is a law of connectivity. And then when people like you, it's much easier to persuade them. And we have to say it. Maybe they didn't like you. Because you've noticed with your relationships, when you like people, you're a lot more forgiving. You're a lot more open with their mistakes. You don't care as much. But if you don't like them and they make a mistake or they do something wrong, you're a lot more critical and harsh. Whether you admit it or not, this is reality. It's true. Maybe they didn't like you. or you don't have the relationship, or maybe they don't know you. That could be a possibility. And then the fourth one is they weren't motivated. And, you know, it was too much work. Why rock the boat? There's no benefits. I don't know. Maybe later. There was no motivation there. So let me kind of review those four so you can understand exactly how they fit in and what you can do. So if there was no reason, you need to back up and think through what's in it for them. How can this help them? How can you create a compelling reason? Now, in business, it's usually save money or make money. That's true for entrepreneurs and your time people. What is the reason they need to listen to you, to talk to you, do business with you? The ability, the time, the resources, the money, that type of thing, you have to spell it out for them that it's only going to take 10 minutes a day. It's only going to take 1 hour a week. It's only going to take an extra $3 a day, and break it down to what they call reduce it to the ridiculous. The connectivity, they didn't like you. You don't have the relationship. You have two options here. If you really sense that you haven't connected, that you've blown it, you have to be a professional and call in somebody else. Get somebody else that can influence them. Start fresh with the new person, especially in a negotiation. Or maybe you need to take them a lunch and spend some time to develop that relationship so you can connect. And if they don't have the motivation, you got to spell it out for them. There's two types of motivation in the world. There's inspiration and there's desperation. So let me ask, what is a better motivator to use, you think, when you're talking to someone, inspiration or desperation? What do you think? Anybody talking today? Inspiration or desperation?
It depends on their state. If they're
Exactly. You're right on. It does depend on their state. If they're stuck in desperation, we've learned that you crank up the desperation, you buffer with inspiration, but if they're in inspiration, you stay in inspiration. So if they're not motivated, for most people, it is going to be desperation, but every once in a while, you'll stay in inspiration. But you have to think that through before you go. Is it inspiration or is it desperation? So when you face that opposition, think it through. What's happening? Why are they resisting you? And then you can figure out the rest. So if that's the case, and they weren't influenced, they weren't persuaded, go back to the drawing board and go through that process again. You go through your pre-assessment phase. What sources of power do you have? You attempt to influence. They accept the change, great. If not, you take a look at the reason, the ability, the connectivity, and the motivation. The biggest mistake persuaders make in this type of situation when they're trying to persuade without that position or influence without authority is creating the reason. They get out there and they do the data dump and they vomit on people and they see all the reasons why they should do it for them, but they really don't get themselves in their shoes. You have to think through the reason and why they should be doing what you're asking them to do, and that will help them out in every aspect of what you're asking them to do. Do the research. Why should they care? How is this going to help them? Is it going to save them money? Is it going to make them money? What is that compelling reason? You have to think about that. Your reason in a lot of ways is like a headline. You only have a couple seconds to grab their attention. And as you study headlines and marketing, that also helps you with the reason too. So if you're dealing with an analytical person, you're going to want to know it's going to save them 36%. It's going to make them an extra $112 a day. That's important. If you're dealing with an amiable person, you might want to talk about the problem that it's going to solve. Remember, as persuaders, you're problem solvers. You're there to solve the problem. That's your goal. If you can think that through and really help you out, it'll make a big difference. The biggest message I want to give today is that pre-assessment is huge. In every situation, you have some form of power. Whether you think you do or not, spend some time to think about it and then just keep going back to the drawing board and trying to figure out the best way to kind of influence without authority. In fact, one thing I want you to work on, as we talked about the reason, is every situation you go through, I want you to think through is what is their reason? Put yourself in their shoes. Why do they care? Why are they here? Why are they listening to me? And those are the two big questions is why should they care? If I were them, would I listen to me? what can I say in the first 30 seconds that's going to grab their attention? And you heard the proverbial before, what's in it for them, the WIIFM, that is so true. We're so concerned about what we need to say, and we get stuck in that data dump that we don't just stop to listen. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as, well, what does the perfect solution look like to you? If a genie appeared and made everything look perfect, what would that look like to you? Remember, top persuaders listen 3 times more than the average persuader. And that will make you a consultant instead of a salesperson, and they'll start talking, they'll start listening, you're taking notes. Tell me, why would that work? What's worked in the past? What is the main reason you, and you kind of fill in the blank there, and become a consultant. Put yourself in their shoes, think it through, and understand they're naturally skeptical, that if they do reject you, they're not necessarily rejecting you, they might reject your product or your service, you move on and you'll learn from it, but create the reason. What is the main reason they should do business with you? And it should be very, very simple for them to understand. So think that through during every influence situation, and it'll make a big difference in what you're able to accomplish and what you're able to do in the world of persuasion and influence. Any questions about what we talked about today? Any questions about things you're running into this week?
Is there a way to say or not to say that you are a consultant? Is that something you would likely want to verbalize?
I don't know if you necessarily need to verbalize it. I think it's kind of, they should perceive it without you having to tell them. To the point where, well, tell me about your situation, and let's look at some different options. Remember, you're a problem solver. And let's look at a few situations to help you out. Tell me what happened there. Why did this work for you? Did this happen? So the listening and ask questions, they should perceive that you're the expert, that you're the consultant, that you're there to solve their problem. Because the challenge with most influence situations, they feel that one size fits all and you're there to cram your one product or service down their throat and they need to buy it, nothing else will work. And that's where the questions and ask questions, did this work? What did you think about that? And that will dramatically help them out. So your goal would be for them to figure it out without you telling them.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, good question. Any other questions?
We have a cold lead campaign going that people are going from a website for information into a campaign that sends them some emails and invites them to view some videos, and we're getting people are some looking at the videos and some not. We've got quite a few that seem to be very interested, and we're trying to figure out how to move them from the interested to the committed or to the close without throwing in some of those closing red arrows that we've talked about.
So that once they've watched the video, what do you want them to do?
Well, generally, we want them to join our business.
Is that by calling you? Is that an online form? Or
there's an online form, and we get a notice that they did view the video, whether they leave the contact information or not. And so we then call them and ask them about the video.
So what percent that watched the video will actually leave their contact information?
Actually, none have yet.
One.
Maybe one.
So how many have watched the video then?
Probably, in this last week or 10 days, it's been maybe 12.
Well, my first red flag here is the video. Now, if the video really moved them, don't you think they put in and persuaded them? Don't you think they'd fill out the contact info?
You would think so, yeah. That might.
And that's one of the challenges with online videos is it resonates with some personalities and other personalities that might turn off.
Uh-huh.
That's what I've noticed, and so that would be one thing to take a look at. Maybe it's a fluke. Is there Is there any good reason? What? So when they fill out a form, is it for you to call them?
For them to, yeah, give us either as our telephone number that they can call, or they can leave their name and number for us to call.
Is there any way you can add a step? Is that you have possibilities to do that with the website?
Yeah, call them.
Well, this is what I'm asking. See, a lot of times when you're asking for too much,
they're gonna
say no. And maybe they're not. Maybe they were sort of interested, but it's just they're not ready to talk to you because you're a salesperson and you're gonna close them into something, and they don't want to deal with that right now.
Right.
So I would suggest. Well, first of all, we need to take a look at the video and how persuasive is this video. Number one, and number two, maybe the next step is to fill out the form to get an audio or report or something that's that would warm them up a little bit more to get them to want to talk to you. Because at this point, the two things I see, either the video's not pulling like it should, or maybe they're just not ready for that. They're sitting on the fence. They need a little extra step in there before they should talk to you.
Yeah, and they get a series of autoresponder emails. And, of course, these are quote-unquote professionally written. And it seems like if we call even and leave a message on their phone to look for that email, that there's a greater success on them going actually into view the videos.
So that's before the videos, then you're leaving a message?
The emails aren't compelling probably either or too long.
Well, I think we need to call back.
Yeah.
And they can tell us if they don't want to talk to them.
Do you ever get them on the phone and they say they're going to watch the video?
Yeah.
Well, one thing you have to, you know, people are busy, things happen. How long is the video?
It's fairly long.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
There's three parts
to it.
Yeah, that is long. That could be a red flag. And well, I mean, if you do have them on the phone, which is the hardest part, I would say here's the link. I'm going to email it to you. Watch the video. I'm going to call you back in 30 minutes because there's some other things I need to give you.
Yeah.
There are other things I want to ask you, and try to get them on the phone right there, especially after they've watched it when the emotion's high, assuming it's a good
video. The quickest link to see the video is Annette, A-Z, like the A-N-N-E-T-T-E-A-Z, like Arizona.com. So if you got time, take a look at it.
And also, you need to keep track of your numbers, too, as far as the number that watch the videos, the numbers that go through the autoresponders.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, the thing is the video too long? Is it being persuasive? And then if you're not getting a lot of people to fill out the form, maybe you just put a little extra step in there as far as a report or an audio you're going to send them or they can download to get them more excited about the business because that's kind of fishy that you've had 12 people. Can you tell if they've watched the whole video or not? Do you have those analytics?
It tells how many minutes, and a few of them have watched it all, and some of them maybe, just a couple minutes into it.
What percent have watched it all?
Maybe 3 out of 10 or 12.
Okay, and that'll tell you something there. If they're not watching, it's not engaging them. Because we have to remember, attention spans are getting smaller and smaller. So I don't know if you have the ability to edit the video or use a shorter video, but that would be one that I would do that too.
I think the big thing on that is to call back and ask the questions.
Yeah, ask the questions, what they were looking for. And that's one thing, great, what did you think? Crazy. Well, what does the perfect home-based business look like to you? Let them talk. Let them explain what they're looking for. Yeah, I noticed you didn't watch the whole thing. It'd be great if we could help me out and understand why. What did you think about it and get some good information from them? And then kind of go from there.
Good.
So I'd spend the time doing a little more research as far as, get a few more numbers as far as who's watching it all the way through, what percent, or give me the information. So we have to take a look at that video, but then thinking a little extra step there for the audio or the video, and that might be what you leave on the message. Hey, thanks for listening. I've got additional information. I want to send you this audio. Give me a call. and give them a bigger reason to call you back, and that should help out with your ability to influence them.
Uh-huh.
All right. Any other questions out there?
I do.
Okay.
I wanted to know, if there, we have clients that we haven't, my name's Marlene, I'm with Bob Moran with Factel.
Okay.
We have some clients who we have who have not ordered from us, like, in about a year. I don't want to just get the phone and call them up and offer them something. Is it better to send them something by mail or to email them or actually call them?
Well, what was your relationship pretty good with them? Or, I mean, were you able to pick up the phone before and talk to them, or was it all done via the internet?
Most of our clients, we talk to them and over the internet. It's we have a mixture of both.
Do you have any new and exciting features or benefits or things you're doing they might not be aware of?
From people that haven't ordered for a month, in about a year, yes, we do.
Maybe that's your lead. I mean, if you had the phone relationship with them before, that's what I would say. If it's a phone relationship before, that's how I'd keep it. If it's an email relationship before, that's how I'd keep it.
Okay.
But it might be something simple. Hey, we've got three new exciting things that's going to save you 42% on, you know, fill in the blank or whatever it is, make you or save you. We talked about making money or saving money. And to welcome you back, we're going to give you a 20% discount because we value you as a customer.
Okay.
So give them a little incentive, something new, maybe a little incentive to come aboard. I mean, you can always send them a gift or something like that, but that's probably an easier way just to get them on board, get them on the phone, talk them through it. And but I would keep the relationship the same, whether it's a phone relationship or an email relationship.
Okay. All right.
But a welcome back discount is always great, especially if it's going to give them a benefit or something that they're looking for, the old what's in it for me.
Okay.
Okay. Good question.
Thank you.
You bet. Any other questions out there? All right. Member of Tool of the Week. So work on the reason part. Get in their brain, whether it's a headline or email you're sending out or, again, welcome them back, whatever it is. That's a big part of what I want you to work on. Remember, the recordings will be posted within 24 hours on ywhypersuasion.com. There's also a contact us form there. There are certain things you want to hear on these calls. These calls are for you. There's certain things that you're running into and you didn't want to ask the question on the call, you can put it there. It's whypersuasion.com. Master these skills. That's what's great about this call. Just if you can apply one thing every week, learn about it, apply it, becomes a part of who you are, then we can add a new skill next week. So with that, everyone have an incredible week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
You bet. Good night, everyone.
Night.
All right.